Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Yevgeny Prigozhin has rarely been out of the headlines since he and his private group of mercenaries led a brief failed rebellion against Russian President Vladimir Putin last month. Now Prigozhin's whereabouts are unknown. There's plenty of lore around this enigmatic militant. The stories of his lives, even the disguises he uses, are the stuff of fiction, maybe out of a novel by Brad Thor. His new spy thriller is called Deadfall. Brad, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks, Lisa.
Did you start writing this book before Russia invaded Ukraine?
No, I started afterwards.
So did you have any idea that at some point Yevgeny Prigozhin, this militia leader, would be as prominent as he is right now? Because it's like straight out of your book, or your book is straight out of the truth. What's happening there?
I did not. And I'm a big fan of the Francis Fukuyama line, which is history does not repeat, but it does rhyme. And there's a lot of echoes with Russia's 2014 invasion of the Donbass, eastern Ukraine, with what Hitler did in the Sudetenland. So there are a lot of things you could see in history, and it wasn't too tough to guess as a fiction author where things might very likely go.
So I think in history and now, there are probably many Prigozhins who you have seen at work. Tell us about the Prigozhin that we know now, the man who went from selling hot dogs to going into places Russia wanted this private militia to go without the Russian imprint on it. And who else operates like him in the world that you've seen?
Prigozhin is a convicted criminal. He was involved in a string of very high-end apartment burglaries in Russia, which is why he went to prison in the old Soviet system for about 9 or 10 years, came out, had a hot dog stand, which he parlayed into a catering business, and became kind of one of Putin's favorite oligarchs. For the longest time, Russia would not admit that the Wagner Group existed. Private military corporations are technically illegal in Russia. But what the Wagner Group allowed Putin to do was to go into different places without official Russian fingerprints. I got to tell you, as we're doing this, Lisa, I think he's dead or in prison.
You know, either that or he gets too close to an open window, which they call it sudden Russian death syndrome. Happens to a lot of Putin's enemies, but I don't know that we'll ever see him in public again, to be honest with you.
And I'm surprised that you say that, because apparently not long after his failed march on Moscow, or the march that he apparently stopped, he had a meeting with Putin. I mean, do you have any evidence that he might be dead?
The fact that he has not been heard from since June 24th tells me everything I need to know.
Obviously, we don't know this for sure, but it sure sounds like the basis for a really good novel. And you have this new novel that just happens to mirror what's happening in the headlines very well. I wonder, how do you keep something like this current once it's on the page?
I was looking at what happened in Poland at the end of 1944. Hitler threw one of his worst SS units at the people of Warsaw. They were recruited, similar to Prigozhin's soldiers, from mental asylums and prisons. And the war crimes they committed from August to October in 1944 were horrific. And I said, okay, I've always loved World War II thrillers, whether they be novels or movies like Saving Private Ryan. And I wanted to do a contemporary version of that. I wanted to send my American hero over to Ukraine to help figure out if some of these American aid workers that vanished were still around, if they could be rescued, and if not, how to settle the score with the Wagner Group.
Is it hard to make a piece of fiction out of something still unraveling in the most violent way?
Yeah, it was painful to actually do this research, to know what was really happening in Ukraine, and then to try to weave a compelling, engaging thriller. It is the most intense thriller I have ever written, the most difficult to have ever researched. People I spoke to for this, been on the ground over in Ukraine, that have seen some of these things firsthand. It's heartbreaking what's happening over there. But I think that this is another way we get to tell the story of what's happening as artists, to try to paint a certain picture that relies heavily on the truth, but involves a certain degree of creative license.
Just want to make a finer point of what you had to get right there. I mean, what did you want to make sure when you're taking something happening in real life and making fiction of it, that you're not overstepping your bounds, you're not making a caricature of the war? What do you have to hit the balance on?
My job isn't to make statements. My job is to make great stories. So my goal here was to have characters with different points of view but still have fun. I love being a fiction author. And so there were a lot of things that I had heard were going on over there that I thought, oh, that's interesting. I could see that happening.
Give us one example.
The intelligence work. It is really, really creative. And I have examples in the book that I took from real life of what the Ukrainian intelligence services are doing to trick the Russians into flying their aircraft over out of the Russian Air Force and selling it to the Ukrainian Air Force. I mean, there's some brilliant stories.
Has that happened?
Of those. Yes, it's happened. They convinced some pilots to go along with it. And then the Russians came back and just listed a BMW at a very low price and tricked a bunch of Western diplomats in Kyiv to bid on this car, give up their cell phone numbers. So the Russians have been doing some creative things on their end too. It's just been fascinating to watch. Even as an author, some of these things I would never think I could put in a book. You know, the difference between fiction and reality is people expect fiction to make sense.
Brad Thor, New York Times bestselling author. His latest book is called Deadfall, which is about a Russian mercenary unit gone rogue in Ukraine. So nice to talk to you, Brad. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.